We are so glad to have our dear brother Jude Uhitige from Nigeria with us. Come on up, Jude. You can come up here. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Of course, I'm not sure when I first met you, because I think that I met your dad in the 80s, I think. It goes all the way back to the 80s. 88, 89, praise God. So Dr. Linus Uhitige started Jesus Brethren Ministries in Nigeria, in the city of, he always said, I didn't say it right, Aba?
Abaya.
Aba. And we've been there twice. We've been there twice. And, of course, Dr. Linus came over here many, many years and went home to be with the Lord not too long ago. And Jude is the official head of Jesus Brethren Ministries, praise God. And his wife, I'm sure, is watching online. Glory to God. So she's talked to her husband, but she can see him. Amen. I think it's about 12 o'clock there. So, amen. But we are so glad to have you. I think it's been since 2019, since you were in Tennessee or the States.
2013.
2013 was your first trip.
2013, my first trip.
Ah, okay. Came with your father. Yes, praise God. His father was very hesitant about bringing him to America. Didn't want him to come here and stay, you know. Go back.
He thought I would marry a white girl.
Anyway, we are so glad to have Brother Jude back in Cleveland, Tennessee. Praise God. Come and share whatever's on your heart, brother.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Jesus. I've been a member of this church online. The last time I came here was 2019. 2020, COVID came, and online service started. And since 2020, I've been following what has been happening in Cleveland Christian Fellowship. Amen. I bring to you greetings from Jesus Brethren Ministries. And I greet you greetings from my family, my wife, Caleb. Can you flash the picture of my wife and my family? That's my wife. The family picture. Those are my children. The boy, yep. Amen. God blessed us with 4 children. There are 5 in number. I inherited one from my dad, and then by my wife, 4. And they are strong. God is keeping us. God is feeding us, and God is taking care of us. Hallelujah. JBM, Jesus Brethren Ministries, is located in Aba. Aba is the eastern side of Nigeria. The east. In the east, we have predominantly Christian. In the north, we have predominantly not Muslims. But in the west is mixed. Christians, Muslims. There are many things happening in Nigeria right now. So many. We don't magnify what the devil is doing anyway, but there are killings, kidnappings happening in Nigeria that the Muslims wants to take over. But God is God. Hallelujah. God is God. He will not allow us to suffer. Amen. Hallelujah. So, thank God for this opportunity to stand on this pulpit this evening to share what God has for us. Like Pastor Mark said, from 1988, Jesus Brethren Ministries came in contact with Cleveland Christian Fellowship. And since then, Cleveland Christian Fellowship has been in support of Jesus Brethren Ministries. Cleveland Christian Fellowship is one of the churches that did not withdraw their support since the death of the founder of Jesus Brethren Ministries in 2014. So many people will not support and they withdrew. But Cleveland Christian Fellowship have been continuing. We thank God for that. Clap for Pastor Mike. Clap for Cleveland Christian Fellowship. Cleveland Christian Fellowship have imparted much into Jesus Brethren Ministries, not only financially, but spiritually. Let me tell you, Cleveland Christian Fellowship helped in building me up, helped in raising up the worship team of Jesus Brethren Ministries. Because in those days, Pastor Mark will always send videos, worship videos and teachings of Cleveland Christian Fellowship. And my father would not allow us to watch anything apart from those videos. So that helped us, that helped in building the worship team of Jesus Brethren Ministries. And the worship team is still kicking today. In those days, we hear songs like, "Shout, shout joyfully unto God all the earth. Shout, shout joyfully unto God all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praises glorious. Shout, shout joyfully unto God on the earth. Joyfully, joyfully, all the earth shall worship him. Joyfully, joyfully, we will sing a praise to him, singing praises to thy name." Amen. And after such songs in Cleveland Christian Fellowship, you see people running, filled with the Holy Spirit, running around. That was quite exciting. Hallelujah. Amen. But today it's like everybody's in the church is quiet. We don't see such running again. The Bible says, "He that sitteth in the heavenlies shall laugh." Sometimes we need to laugh in the presence of God. Laugh in faith. Laugh against the devil. Laugh at what the devil is doing. And ridicule him. Don't laugh like Sarah. But laugh in faith. Not in doubt. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to be energetic, zealous in serving God in our behaviors in the house of God to motivate others. That's a gift of motivation. Praise God. Well, that is not my message for today. My message, let's turn our Bibles to the book of James. Yeah, James. James chapter 1. James 1, verse 25. And I read, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Everybody in the church today needs blessings. We need prosperity. We need our business to prosper. Look at the key here. The Bible says, "Whatever we do will be blessed. Whatever we do will prosper if we look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it. Number one, look. Number two, continue in it. Number three, do not be forgetful. God called Joshua and told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but that you meditate therein day and night to observe to do according to all that is written in it. By so doing, you make your way prosperous and you have good success. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is he that does not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So you find out that God is very particular about listening to his word, paying attention to his word. All we do in church is to come and listen to God speak to us. It says, he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. If you don't know what liberty is, go and ask them, those that are in prison. They want to get out. They are caged. But we were caged by the devil, and God liberated us. God made a law that liberated us. And that law is the law of the New Testament. The Bible says the law of the new covenant is better than the old. And he's saying, he, if we continue to look into this perfect law of liberty, not being forgetful, we'll be blessed in all that we are doing. My message is, I'm not even talking about continuing. Continuing is there. But my particular message is, do not be forgetful. Forgetfulness is the tool of the devil to take away God's word from us, to take away our blessings, to ridicule us. Forgetfulness. My father, when he was alive, you know, he was a school teacher. If he gives you instruction, don't give him an excuse. Oh, I forgot. Don't give him that excuse. I forgot. Today, many of us, we are giving God an excuse. I forgot. You think, when you say, I forgot, you'll be permitted. No. Number one, if you forget, it means, number one, you are not even paying attention in the first place. Number two, it means that person speaking to you, you are neglecting him. You are not respecting him. In Igbo land, if a king makes a suggestion to you, it is imperatively a must. The suggestion of a king, though he made it as a suggestion, you are expected to do it. It's a must. But we are serving the Most High God. God himself has all it takes to be a tyrant. God has all it takes to be autocratic. But he is not. He left us to choose. He left us to do it out of our will, to obey him out of our will. He's capable of being a tyrant. He's capable of being autocratic because his ways are true. If he forces us to follow his way, you know his ways are true. His ways will bring prosperity. It will bring blessings. Yet, he allowed us. Then why should we neglect him when he wants to give us instruction? God is calling you, or God is giving you, talking to you, and you're busy doing another thing. It's not respect on him. Do not forget, we're existing in a world where there are distractions all over the place. As the world gets advanced, we have more distractions. Look at this. This is phone. This can distract you. Even when God is talking to you. Some people don't come to church again with this. And they don't come to church with this. They don't come to church with writing material. They depend on this. I've downloaded my Bible on my phone. And then the preacher is preaching and you're looking at your phone. That's nice. And once you're looking at your phone, somebody sent you a message, a report. Okay. That's distraction. Downloading a Bible on your phone is okay. I'm not condemning it. It will aid you. If you're waiting for somebody in a waiting room elsewhere, you're not with this, you can turn it and read. But not when in the church. I'm sorry to say. In the church, you can be reading, and before you know it, somebody sent you a message. Your attention will divert from there to the message. You open the message and you begin to read. The pastor is busy preaching. We must guide ourselves in many areas not to forget God's word. Don't be a forgetful hearer of God's word. In Mark chapter 4, let's go there. Mark chapter 4. Let's read from verse 14. We are familiar with this. It is the parable of the sower. Jesus said, "The sower sows the word, and these are they which by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." It is our duty to decide the kind of heart we have, or the kind of ground our heart will be. It is our duty to decide and make our heart by the wayside, or we make it by thorns, a heart full of thorns, or we make it a heart that is stony, or we make it a heart that is fertile for the seed. It is your duty to do that. It is my duty to do that. The devil comes immediately to take away the word. Why? Why must the devil take away the word immediately? Because the devil knows If he takes away the word, he has gotten you. He wants to collect all the instrument, all the equipment, all the weapon you have to fight him. That's why he's coming after the word. In the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, it is only the sword that is the weapon. Others are for defense. The sword is the only offensive weapon, which is the word that you deal with the devil. That's the sword. And the devil wants to take away that offensive weapon so that you will always be on the defense. If the devil succeeds in taking away God's word from you, he will defeat you. You are done. You are gone. He comes immediately to take the word. The wolves among thorns, the devil brings the cares of this life in your mind to choke the word. The ones on the stony ground are those that hear the word and did not water it. You did not continue in it. Your heart becomes a stony ground. And when you don't continue, the devil will make the word to die. And the ones on good ground, fertile ground, are those that continue in it and not forget. Continue in it, look into it, continue in it, and do not forget. Forgetfulness is not an excuse. Oh, I forgot. It's not an excuse why you disobeyed God's word or why you did not do what God wants you to do. There are two things: disobedience to God's word and not doing it at all. These are two different things. Well, you disobey God's word when you allow yourself to be into sin. But there are certain things God will tell you, and you will not do it. You just be looking. You will not act on it. And you may say, I'm not committing sin. But God has said it. Disobedience is sin on its own. When God gives you instruction and you don't obey it, it's a sin on its own. And God says, pray. And you don't pray. You don't commit sin anywhere. You don't steal. You don't tell lies. You don't do all those things. But God says, pray. Or God says, read my word. And you don't do it. Those are suggestions. But I told you, in Igbo land, when a king makes a suggestion, it is mandatory. So for us to forget God's word, it means, number one, we are not paying attention in the first place. Anything that will make us not to pay attention, we ought to remove it. It's a neglect on God. It's a neglect on the person talking to you. When you decide not to act on his word. God is not a baby that will be talking to you. Hello, you are talking to your baby. Huh? God is not like that. God is a king, the maker of heaven and earth. When we come to church, when we pick our Bible to read at home, see it as God talking to you. Amen. So we must fight forgetfulness. There are things to do to fight forgetfulness. To fight forgetfulness is a way to keep yourself. Pastor John quoted a scripture, "He that is born of God keeps himself so that the enemy will not touch him." You keep yourself by guarding yourself against forgetfulness. The devil wants you to forget. He wants to take away the word. So, how not to forget? What are the things we need to do not to forget? Number one, pay attention to God's word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Pay attention to God's word. Avoid distractions. Whatever distractions, physical distraction, emotional distraction, avoid them. Anything that will take your mind away when God is talking, when you are in the presence of God, either you're hearing a preaching or you're reading the Bible, avoid such distractions. Pay attention. I know that in the military, when they say attention, you have to stand still. And if there is a flies or ant coming here, you don't need to do like this. If you do like this, you have offended. Attention means maximum attention. Attend to God's word. Give attention to it. Number two, avoid distraction. In order not to forget, avoid distraction. Number one is pay attention. Number two, avoid distraction. I made mention of phone. There are many distractions here. Do you know in Nigeria, I don't know what, even this a screen. Some people will not come to church with Bible. They are depending on the one on the screen. It's good to look at the screen. But if you want to be serious with God, come with your papers, come with your pen, write it down. It's a serious business. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. I am a college graduate. I know how I suffered to graduate. You wake up in the night to read your books. You make necessary preparations in order to pass exams. The ones you don't remember, you try to take them in, to cram them, to meditate on it, to make it stay here. You form some words to remember the points. Somebody formed SWOT, and they call it, say, SWOT analysis. Somebody formed it. Strength, weakness, opportunity, threat. When you are reading the Word of God, form such, do things to make you not to forget. That's my point. Amen. So, write it down. Number three. Write the Word of God down. When God is speaking, write it down. Write it down. They said, a short pencil is better than the longest memory. One of the definitions of the brain is that it is capable of to forget. It has the ability to forget. The brain has the ability to forget. A short pencil is better than the longest memory. Write it down. When you want to forget, go back to where you wrote it down until it sticks. Until it sticks, you drive it down your spirit. And when you write it down, you meditate on it. Study it, meditate on it. Be like the Berean Christians. After coming to church, they go home. They study to check whether what Pastor Mark is teaching is true or not. Whether what Pastor John is teaching is true or not. Or whether what Jude is teaching is true or not. We live in America where everything is... You people don't have time here. But that's not an excuse. Make time for God's word. It's a serious business. Make time for it. Make time to study it. Every country have their challenge. Everybody is busy here. You don't give attention to any other person. But make time for God's word. That's number what? 1, 2, 3, 4. Write it down. Study it. Meditate on it. That's number 4. Then number 5. You do it. Number 5, you do what? You do it. When you do, you know. It's a Chinese proverb. When you do something, you will really know that thing. When you do something, you are experiencing it. Because the Word of God is practical. It's not theoretical. God expects us to practice His word. It's not a thing we'll stuff on our head and not act on it. It's only in schools that you theorize and make theories and so on. But in God's house, when you're reading God's word, you practice it. Let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. Be doer of God's word. If you're not a doer, you're just like that man. If you see yourself in a mirror, you go away, you forget. Forgetfulness. Hallelujah. We need to practice God's word. Do it. Obey it. If we don't do that, the Bible says we are deceiving ourselves. In other words, it means there's no need coming to hear God's word in the first place. If you don't practice God's word, you don't take. There's no need coming here. There's no need saying I'm a Christian. There's no need claiming to be a child of God because you are deceiving yourself. I am deceiving myself. And in Igbo land, somebody who is deceiving himself will call that person a fool. I'm not saying you're a fool, sorry. Hallelujah. So we need to act on God's word. We need to obey it. We need to practice it. Practice obedience. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. I'm rounding up. 1 John 3, 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Let me stop there. The Bible talks about practicing righteousness. He that practices righteousness is righteous. Practicing righteousness is obeying God's word. We know that righteousness is a gift from God. If you practice righteousness before receiving the gift of righteousness, those ones you practice before, the Bible sees them as filthy rags. Let me come again. Any righteousness practiced before receiving the gift of righteousness from Jesus is a filthy rag. But when you receive that righteousness from Jesus as a gift, you are born again. You gave your life to Christ. You are expected to practice righteousness. Righteousness practiced after receiving the gift of righteousness is not filthy rag. So God expects us to practice righteousness. We're expected to practice it. Practice makes perfect. We're expected to practice prayers. We're expected to practice laying on of hands. We're expected to practice giving. All the instructions of God in the law of liberty, we're expected to practice all of them. Because when we practice, as we practice them, we'll grow in them. As we practice them, we'll grow in them. Hallelujah. So, we need to fight against forgetfulness. Don't forget God's word. Do not be a forgetful hearer. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Pastor?
Stay right here a second. When, you know, he mentioned several times Igbo land. Explain that to them because they don't know what an Igbo is.
Igbo is my tribe. It's a tribe in Nigeria. It's a tribe that is towards the eastern part of Nigeria. They occupy the eastern part of Nigeria, the Igbo tribe. Nigeria have many tribes, up to 20-something tribes. And we have a language called Igbo language. Amen. So, but Igbo tribe, in Igbo, our tradition is linked to Hebrew tradition. We do the same thing. So there's a claim that the Igbo tribe is from Hebrew, that they are one of the tribes, the lost tribe. See, there are two tribes that have not gone back to Israel. 10 tribes have gone back. But Igbos, they are suspecting that Igbo could be one of them. So that's my tribe. Amen.
So I've actually met Nigerians that were from East Nigeria, and I said, I'm an Igbo man. And they would go, what? You know what an Igbo is? So so when he talks about an Igbo land, when a chief says something, you know, they call them red cap chiefs.
Yes, red cap chiefs.
If somebody's a real red cap chief and he says something, then you don't disobey that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
Igbo land. I'm an Igbo man. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
And so you speak Igbo. I've been to those churches, by the way. It's incredible because we would, you know, everybody knows about Lagos, which is the main capital city. But then Aba is a big city, but it's down at the bottom, you know, upper half, Muslim, very. Before America ever heard of extreme Muslims, I'd heard of, you know, Shiite Muslims and so forth, where they wanted to kill Christians. And if you pay attention to the news, you hear a lot of horrible things happen at times because of the extreme, extreme terrorist Muslims in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And so we'd go to the south, and so when we were in the big city, but when we went to the, and their worship was very similar to ours, but when you went to the, out to the, deep into the bush, and so the Igbo land Christians, and man, the drums and so forth, the worship was incredible. They clapped their hands. Do you know how to do it?
That's how we clap our hands.
But
Imela, 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 Okaka, Imela, Chineke.
And so we would, and so I'm there in 1989 or 90 or something, out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, out in the middle of nowhere. And here's a little store, and it has a, you know, the sign is you can write on it with chalk. And so written, it starts and it runs downhill, you know, and it says Kenneth Hagin Books inside. Yeah. But when they clap their hands there, they can do it in such a way that it sounds like you have two big blocks of wood, and I don't know how they,
unity.
Yeah, and I don't know how they do that. I mean, it's they cup their hands and it's like two big pieces of sticks, and then going, wow. I mean, now how many languages do you speak?
Me?
Yeah.
Just two, Igbo and English.
Igbo and English. Amen. So every day in Nigeria, what do you normally speak at work?
At work, English.
English. You speak English at work. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
The reason I'm saying that is because you know, somebody like Svetlana comes here. Svetlana has a doctorate, but she speaks English. But you know, we don't know what she really sounds like unless you hear her speak in her native tongue. But I was in Nigeria, and of course they translate for me. But I was there one time. Now this was a really weird. I'm speaking English, and they translated me in English. Their version of English, you know, because we say finances and they say finances, and you know, and so it was, and I'm like, oh wow, this is really different. All right, so tell them how old you are.
I am 52.
Because when he first told us he was 52, I thought, man, I thought you were 30 or something like that, you know.
I am 52.
But Jude also, actually, he is the head of Jesus Brethren Ministries, but he's a businessman. And he's the head of the ministry, and he goes, it's how many hours away from your home?
Eight hours.
The church is 8 hours away, so he goes there every other Sunday and preaches the Word of God. And, of course, this is something he's just been doing since his father died, you know, and went home to be with the Lord. As a matter of fact, he was in the United States. Mom Malone and I went to see him in Atlanta, Georgia. Praise God. And so, and I want you to know, brother, we are eternally connected. Amen. You know, you hear so many of that. I know when Brother Hagin passed away, you know, the Raymond didn't talk about it, but just instantly overnight lost a third of their support. We just heard today, my little daughter Heather, you could see her temperature just rise because she was talking to the person over at New Hope, Crisis Pregnancy Center, New Hope. And so their director, and she's been wonderful, is leaving to a new position. And because she's leaving and now they have a new girl, they've already lost some support because she's leaving. But we're not of that spirit. We're connected to you, and we will be eternally connected throughout all of eternity. I want you to know that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Well, we want to receive an offering. Like I said, you're not just giving to Jude. You're giving to Jesus, brother, in ministries. And Linus would come, and oh man, one time we had 12 extra pieces of luggage that we had to get to the airport, and we went there ready and willing to pay for them, and the guy just took a hard-nosed stance and said, I don't care if you've got the money, we won't let you put them on this plane. And so another couple from Nigeria came, they had 7 kids or something like that, and each kid took like 2 bags apiece, and we got it all on there. I mean, the guy saw we were doing it, but he was just, I said, well, he could have got our money. Amen. And now we're getting the luggage on there free. So, you know, praise God. So if you want to give a gift to the ministry there and help support them and their work, and I haven't talked to him. I know his dad would come and he'd want to buy this or that or a piano or a microphone or an overhead screen or whatever, and we'd work on those things. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Give me an envelope, guys. I'm sorry. I usually do this ahead of time, but I didn't. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm writing in tongues, but John can read in tongues. Praise God. Most times. Praise God. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify your holy name. You are so good to us. We thank you for the body of Christ worldwide and what you are doing through different people all over the world. Praise God. Jesus is Lord of the United States of America, and Jesus is Lord over Nigeria. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. And so, Father, we bring our tithes and offerings, and our offering actually tonight, and as we've been teaching on Sundays, we give willingly, we give freely, we give joyfully, and we give what for us, everybody's different, we give for what it for us is a generous offering, and you promise us in your word that if we gave willfully and cheerfully and generously, that we would in fact reap a generous harvest. So we thank you for that and believe you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Go ahead, gentlemen, wait on the people. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting Jude tonight. Praise God. Amen. We release our faith with you every ounce. Glory to God. Lagos, Nigeria is an interesting place to fly into. It's one of the most dreaded places in the world for people to fly into. all kind of articles written by it, because there's lots of, as you walk through the airport, they continually blare, do not take bribes, do not give bribes, and every 10 feet, somebody's trying to get you, take money from you. And so I actually, excuse me, but I had picked such a fit as I was leaving the country that I realized it was a legitimate tax that I was supposed to pay, and they finally just said, go on, go on. Because when I was leaving, because I had been through this so many times, and I was leaving, and the guy said, you will pay 100. It's always 100. You will pay 100. And I said, why? He said, because your suitcase weighs too much. I said, you didn't even put it on the scale. He goes, the scale's broken. Anyway, God bless you. You're dismissed.